From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob DeLevy, Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. And today, we are going to be talking about the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program Open Season. I am honored to have with me today Jay Fritz, Program Manager for Healthcare and Insurance at the Office of Personnel Management. Good afternoon, Jay.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be here.
Your responsibility generally has been FEHBP. Open season, early in your career you did claims, so you reviewed claims data, you've worked with the enrollees, you've worked with the plans, you've worked with agencies. So tell me, define what open season is for FEHBP.
Yeah, I'll be glad to do that because that's kind of what we live for here at OPM in my group is our annual open season. What it is, the time for our employees to think about your health, dental, vision, and tax-saving needs, and to enroll or change your enrollment in any of the programs that participate. And just a reminder for the dates of open season, this year will be from Monday, November the 11th, through Monday, December the 9th. And the programs that participate are the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, FEHB, the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program, FedVIP. And we always like to promote the information that we have available on our website. So our open season website is www.opm.gov/open season. Repeat it, www.opm.gov/open season. Our website is now live, so you can go on there and start attaining the information you need to make the decisions that are right for you and your family for the upcoming 2020 benefit year.
Great. Now, how large is the enrollment sort of population in FEHBP?
Yeah, it's relatively large. It's the largest employer-provided health insurance program in the country. We have about 4 million enrollees, and that's our employees, our annuitants, covering roughly 8 million lives. So it's a very sizable program. So we have a lot of responsibilities here at OPM for providing for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, and people really value the work that you all do here because one of the most important facets of federal employment is health insurance. It's a personal decision. So when they go in and they make the decision about what plan to belong to or join or what plan they want to stay in, that's, you know, the open season has a tremendous role to play in that. How many plans are there to choose from in the FEHBP?
Yeah, for FEHB, for 2020, we'll have 279 plan options. Now, that's across the entire FEHB program. The actual number of options available to any given enrollee will be lower. A lot of those options are our health maintenance organizations, which are based in individual states. So, therefore, it's going to vary, you know, based upon where you live. Like areas like D.C., you have a lot more options than some of the other areas in the country. But we do have a minimum of 18 nationwide plan options that are available to anyone that's eligible for the FEHB program.
A lot of folks are confused about the definition of what those plans are, like fee-for-service, preferred provider organization, or known as PPO, and health maintenance organizations. How do you make a distinction among those plans, types of plans?
Yeah, that's a question we get a lot, and it's getting more complicated as the healthcare landscape evolves. Our fee-for-service plans, as we mentioned earlier, are nationwide. They're available to anyone in there for our open plans. You enroll in a plan and you can go to any provider that you want to. It's not, you know, like a gatekeeper. The issue there is that we do encourage people to go to what we call preferred providers. And going to preferred providers will save you lots of money. Preferred providers will give a higher level of reimbursement in many cases, and it also prevents the doctors from billing more than what the plan allows. Health maintenance organizations are a closed plan. It's more of a gatekeeper. It's organized care. You have a primary care physician. They orchestrate and organize all of your care.
One of the years ago, we were talking this before we started recording this podcast, was a former associate director for health and insurance, Gene Barber, when I first started working on the Hill, when we've been describing plans in FEHBP, said it's sort of like different flavors of vanilla, that it's very hard to make distinctions among the plans out there, particularly the nationwide and fee-for-service plans. How significant are the distinctions amongst the plans, particularly fee-for-service nationwide plans, nationwide PPO plans out there?
Yeah, there are distinctions. A lot of the distinctions revolve around provider networks, a lot of them also about some coverage differences. We also have a lot of it depends on deductibles versus co-insurance amounts. We always encourage people to kind of consider the premiums. We don't want that to be the determining factor. There's more involved than just premiums. We do understand that this is a complicated process, and we try to do as many tools and create as many tools as what we can. That's why we do emphasize our open season website, which I mentioned earlier, and we've also have been working to increase and the usefulness and enhancements to our plan comparison tool for FEHB. And we'll give that website now too, which is www.opm.gov/FEHBcompare. www.opm.gov/FEHBcompare. Good information on there. You can search by zip code. Enter your zip code. It tells you what plans are available to you in your area. And you can also go in there, and we have a lot of benefit information in there. You can select up to three plans, do a side-by-side comparison. It's a good tool. We can always make it better. We spent a lot of effort this past year on making some enhancements to improve the user experience. We understand decision-making process is difficult, stressful, and we want to try to alleviate that as much as possible. Some of the enhancements we made, we try to make it more user-friendly. Display and usability enhancements, we made links more prominent to get to the plan information. We engaged agency benefit officers and the FEHB carriers for suggestions of what we could do to make the tool better.
Yeah, also, I have to compliment OPM because you have this advisory group that gets together periodically where I participated in last week. And one of the suggestions I made, and which was received somewhat favorably, was within the comparison tool to have a filter, particularly for retirees, to segregate or to filter only those plans that provide for Medicare Part B reimbursement or assistance in paying for that. So I have to say that you do change and you sort of modify the comparison chart and issues that are brought to you by enrollees and by association. So thank you for that.
Yes, we do. We did take note of your suggestion. That's one thing we'll look at in the coming year for next year's enhancements. We do know that there's a lot of interest in Medicare coverage. We have a lot of individuals, our annuitants that are Medicare eligible, and we are always trying to do things we can to improve the tool for them, kind of indicate or show kind of how benefits coordinate with Medicare.
Right, and I do know that OPM has historically wanted annuitants to maximize the benefits between FEHBP and Medicare. That helps the government. It helps the enrollee. It's a good benefit.
Yeah. We do encourage people. There's no requirement in FEHB to take Medicare Part B, but we do encourage people to do so because there are advantages in co-pays. And if you go outside the plan's network, especially if you're in an HMO, that you can use your Medicare coverage.
Let's talk a little bit about premiums, since a lot of people, when they go shopping, they shop premiums in contrast to shopping benefits. Can you talk a little bit about that, how the premium has changed from 2019, the current year, to 2020, next year? What's the magnitude of the change? Why has the increase occurred, if to the extent there were increases? Are all plans rising at the same amount? What's going on out there in the market?
Yeah, they're not all rising at the same amount. We have obviously some plans increase. We have some that stay relatively the same, and even some that have some decreases. Just some overall statistics, the overall increase in rates for non-postal employees, and we're used to talking to non-postal because that's the largest segment that we have, is about 4%. And for self-only, the average premium increase is about 3.3%. Self plus one's about about 3.2 self and family, the average increase. It's about 4.8. The 2020 increase, it's higher than last year's historically low increase, but it's comparable to the average FHB increases for most of the last 5 years.
Now, part of that, what makes up that increase in part is utilization, in part is health care insurance, and also there's an ACA component to it, that is through the Affordable Health Care Act. Can you explain how the different factors contribute to the increase?
Yeah, our process is that each year our plans for the following year propose a rate and benefits. And their proposals are due by May 31st. We have an Office of Actuaries here at OPM, and they're a look at the things that Bob was talking about, utilization, what it really costs to provide the coverage that OPM's negotiated, and then they review that, and then in concert with the carriers are coming to an agreement on what the rates are going to be for the next year.
And the rates are determined, the enrollee share is determined by a weighted average premium, which is very complicated as you apply it to different plans, but that's the reason why not everyone is paying the same premium or the same increase that everyone else is, that some other people are.
Exactly. It's what we call the fair share, and it's a very, as Bob pointed out, a very complicated formula using the weighted average of all the plans in the program to determine the government contribution.
One of the new plans that sort of came on board this year was an indemnity plan, and we have not had an indemnity plan in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program in probably 30 years, maybe. What does that do? What does the entrance of a new indemnity plan mean? Who's sponsoring it? How does it differ from other nationwide plans?
Yeah, the indemnity benefit plan is sponsored by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association. And it's another nationwide fee-for-service option, which means it's available to everyone that's eligible for the FEHB program. Out-of-network benefits, and what we do is we encourage people, it's an additional choice, visit our plan comparison tool. We kind of go back to our PCT, FEHB Compare, for individuals to take a look. It could be the best choice. It could be another option to consider.
There were plans that left the system this particular year, and for those folks that sort of have the philosophy, we'll talk about this a little bit in a couple of minutes, let it ride, and they're in a plan that is no longer there, they default into the indemnity plan. Is that accurate?
Yeah. We have two plans that are leaving the program this year. We have the MVP health plan in portions of New York State, and we have a Highmark plan in portions of Pennsylvania. And what we do is encourage people, once they get first of all, they will get notice from their planned MVP or Highmark that they are in fact leaving. We encourage people to make a choice for the next plan year. Again, we emphasize people go to our website for open season, go to the plan comparison tool, make the decision best for your family. If an individual does not make a choice, they will be defaulted into the lowest cost nationwide plan options determined by OPM. For 2020, that nationwide option will be the GEHA Indemnity Plan Elevate option.
The Elevate option. So if in those two plans, if you make no choice, that's where you're going to find
that's
yourself.
That's where you will go.
Let's talk about open season from, let's say, 20,000 feet. Just so people out there who are listening don't think that you start preparing for open season in September, when do you start planning for this open season?
For this open season, this current open
yes.
season, we put our teams together back in the spring, and we kind of been working through there. We've been having daily meetings since August, September. It's a lot of work to do. It's a current process. You're talking about when we start. What's interesting is that we've already started work for the 2021 benefit year. We haven't even gotten into the 2020 benefit year. We've already started preparations for 2021, working on our call letter and what we want the plans to look at and consider for 2020.
Can you explain, for those who are out there, what the call letter actually is? Because we hear this term used constantly the call letter says. What is a call letter?
It's our call for benefits for the plans participating for the next year. And it lays out the issues that OPM are interested in seeing plans provide coverage for, change coverage for, et cetera. But it's basically what we're looking for as administrators of the FEHB program for our plans to do for the next benefit year.
For example, like putting in place quality measurements. As I recall, 2 years ago, that was starting to appear in call letters. In addition, what benefits, where you would entertain improved benefits, where you would sort of encourage less benefits and so forth, and the plans would respond to that.
Yeah, and I think pharmacy, prescription drugs is a big expense in the FHB program, so we've been looking for some creative ways for coverage of drugs.
All this work that you put into preparing for an open season, to putting information out there, hoping that people shop around, compare plans. How many people actually change plans during the open season?
Yeah, the indication we have from looking at our statistics is about 5 to 6% of people make a change on an annual during the annual federal benefits open season. Is that the number we'd like to see? Probably not. We think a lot of it is individuals that just kind of keep the same plan they have without doing the evaluations for what might be a better plan for them. That's why we do the work here that we do. Is that we encourage people to consider other plans. We put a whole bunch of information on our open season website, plan brochures, links to the plan comparison tool, the rates. We also do the plan comparison tool that we've talked about throughout here and the improvements to it. So we can encourage people to go out there, consider other options, even take a look, even if you're not certain you want to change. We encourage everybody every year is that your benefits are going to change. That's why we go through a negotiation process. So we encourage people, take a look for your current plan, what the benefits are going to be for 2020. Go look at other plans. Is a change in your plan something that you really aren't comfortable with or don't want to live with? Then go to our plan comparison tool and look at another plan. Or even if you can kind of live with the benefits, there still might be something better out there that can better meet your needs. We encourage people to take advantage of the work that OPM does for you.
Yeah, and what's ironic is if separate and apart from the annual open season, there are life events that will trigger a personal open season, like the loss of a spouse or the marriage or the birth of a child. And it's sometimes people just sort of let it ride, and it costs them thousands of dollars every year if they lose a spouse and they don't change from a self and spouse or a family coverage to a single coverage, and they just don't take that action. And so it's multiplied that sort of antipathy towards making a change during open season.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're correct, and we see a lot of situations where there have been a decrease in the number of family members that would allow a decrease of enrollment from self and family to self plus one, perhaps self plus one to self only, and the individuals either aren't aware of it or just, as you mentioned, just don't do it, and they're costing themselves substantial amounts of money.
What are the key factors one ought to consider when deciding what plan you want to enroll in during open season?
I think the one factor is, does the plan provide the coverage for the services that you need at a premium or a benefit coverage level that you can afford and that you're comfortable with? And that's, again, why we do all that we do is to make those decisions and go out and see what we have. And the current plan you're in may not be the best.
Right. Now, there is a distinction. Now, I know that you get a lot of communications, I know we do over at the association, when a postal employee becomes a postal retiree, all of a sudden the premium might go up. Now, it used to be significantly, now it's incrementally. To what is that attributed to?
Yeah, and what we're talking about here is as an employee, the employees of certain postal unions, through their union negotiations, they get a higher government contribution than what the regular federal employees such as myself do. So they spend their entire career getting this extra government contribution, meaning they pay less, but that contribution is based upon your negotiations with your postal union as an employee. Once you retire, you're no longer under those postal agreements, and then as an annuitant, you're going to pay the same premium as all other feds do.
And historically, that also, to some extent, that applied to managerial-level employees who had, through a consultative agreement, had an increased postal employer contribution than they will get as a retiree, which is determined by statute, not by either consultation or by negotiation if you're a member of a union. One of the other issues is that there is a distinction between who runs the open seasons, that fairs that are run around the country. Some are run by agencies, some are run within the Postal Service. To what extent is OPM involved in those types of open season fairs?
We're not involved that much, but it is one thing that we're kind of looking at, is that, you know, these are put on some by federal executive boards, some are set up by the FEHB carriers, some are set up by the individual agencies. But, you know, we have a group here at OPM where we're reaching out and talking with the agency benefit officers, and one of the areas becomes the number of health fairs, and are employees aware of these health fairs, especially ones that might be put on by a federal executive board. So it's one of the things we're looking at OPM, what can we do to kind of be more useful, more proactive in promoting the health fairs?
Jay, final question. What suggestions do you have to individuals who, beginning next week and through the first or second week in December, are going to be making decisions that will last for the entirety of 2020? What should they do? What should they look for? And when?
Yeah. When, you know, kind of the when versus the what is that, you know, again, we encourage everyone, take advantage of open season. It's the time of the year that we provide every year to do the evaluations, find whatever's plans are best for you and your family members. First thing we recommend, and we've mentioned it multiple times, is our open season website, the plan comparison tool that you can there and look at the plans, what benefits are available. You can do a side-by-side comparison for up to three plans. And go in there, do the research, take advantage of what the open season provides, and you know, try to do what's best for the family.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jay. This was Jay Fritz, the Program Manager for Health Care and Insurance at the Office of Personnel Management. And thank everyone over at OPM for helping us out making this open season a true success.
That's what we're here for.
Thank you so much.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna